Welcome back to the Radio Cafe. This is Zaylee Pollan sitting in for Mary Charlotte. I am speaking today with Patrick Dawson. He is the author of a new book called Vintage Beer, A Taster's Guide to Brews That Improve Over Time. Patrick will be speaking this Friday at the Santa Fe Brewing Company Tap Room, Saturday in Albuquerque, Sunday in Taos. He notes a keg of vintage beer will be tapped at each event. Welcome to the Radio Cafe, Patrick.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Now, it also just happens by coincidence, you are coming during the Bike and Brew Festival, a big three-day celebration of beer, culture, mountain, and road biking.
Yeah, it's a very happy coincidence. I just been planning on making it out to New Mexico that weekend anyway, and realized once I started scheduling events that it was the same time, so I'm happy to be able to connect with all the beer-centric folks that are going to be out attending the festival.
Well, and it seems that there are more and more beer-centric folks. I think before we go into your book specifically, can you talk a little bit about the emergence of the culture of beer and microbreweries? Certainly here in Santa Fe, we're seeing that.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, Santa Fe, I mean, it's the whole country. It's just amazing. I've been traveling around promoting the book, and it's just, in the last 2 or 3 years, it's just incredible, the explosion of the craft beer scene across America. People are just, they're discovering the wealth of flavors that can be produced in a beer. For the longest time, everybody, or so many people, thought that beer was just, you know, the big American dominating brewers that everyone knows, and they're starting to discover that there is this huge array of different flavors and profiles that can be created in a beer. And that really, people, as they're just getting so much more interested in what they're eating and drinking, are looking for more options and are excited to explore, I think.
And there's so much science in it. I do want to mention we have the Santa Fe Brewery, we have the Second Street Brewery, Blue Corn Brewery, Dual Brewery, serving a lot of Belgian-style beers. And this Saturday also marks the reopening of the Santa Fe Tap Room, which was formerly Marble, in the Luna Building at 505 Cerrillos. So yes, as we've noted, it's going to be quite the celebratory beer weekend. You will be surrounded by like-minded people, Patrick Dawson.
All right, I'm excited for it.
So let me talk a little bit about your book, which is very beautiful. It's gift size, small red, a very, very aesthetically pleasing book for sure. And you open it with this beautiful anecdote about what you describe as one of the finest aged beers you've tasted. Can you describe that here for our listeners?
Yeah, well, and I think the first thing to start with is, you know, it's all subjective. Everyone has a different idea of what their perfect beer is. And for me, there's always the sentimental side that comes into it. So for me, I think my favorite beer, vintage beer I've ever had, was the first one. And it was because it's what opened my eyes to what a little bit of time can do to the right beer. It can create this whole new world of different flavors that you're not normally going to find in a beer. So for me, it was Duvel. It's a Belgian beer. It's called a strong golden ale. And this beer, when it's fresh, it's got kind of this hoppy bite and a little bit of alcoholic spice, and it's delicious. It's a wonderful beer fresh, but with time, it's just incredible what emerged out of there. All sorts of tropical fruits, pineapple and mango, a touch of caramel that kind of boosted that whole fruitiness up, and then that alcoholic bite and that hoppiness had faded just enough that it really integrated into the beer. It's with a lot of these beers, it's similar to when you let a stew sit overnight and those flavors all sort of meld together. Beers will do that too. The right beers will do that too, and just create this sort of even, beautiful profile. And for me, I had that beer opened my whole new beery world to me, of all these new beers that can be discovered and tried. by just aging them for a little bit of time on your own.
Now, you described that not all beers can do this. You talk about having this three-year-old Belgian beer, which was kind of euphoric for you, and then trying to age all these other beers, and it really didn't work.
Absolutely. So a lot of people are really surprised when they hear that you can age beer, and there's a reason for that. The vast, vast majority of beers should not be aged. I would say something like 99% of beers out there are not going to show any improvement with time. What makes them special is those young, fresh malt or hop flavors, and those aspects are going to disappear over time. So it's only these small sliver beers, this little niche of beers, that will show some improvement. It's simply going to be strong beers, so barley wines, imperial stouts, and whatnot, or sour beers. So some of your listeners might have heard of sour beers, like the Olympic beers of Belgium, Creek, and whatnot. And those beers are going to have essentially, it's almost a preservative, that high alcohol or that acidity. It's a preservative that sort of slows the aging of the beer. It's almost like a food is cured, like maybe like smoked salmon, you use smoke to cure it. It's the same thing with a beer, and it's really important because these flavors that are going to develop in these certain beers, they're really slow to emerge, and you need to buy some time to allow that to happen. Similar to cooking a pot roast. If you cook a pot roast too warm, you know, any chefs out there, if you cook a pot roast too hot, let's say 400 degrees, it's going to dry out and get chewy and tough. You know, the main flavor is going to be shoe leather. But if you turn that temperature down to, 200, you cook it slow and low, and all of those things that got tough, that collagen and connective tissue, instead of shrinking up, it's actually going to melt into the meat and create all these new succulent flavors, but allow those meaty aspects to emerge and really stand on their own. A beer is the exact same way. It allows those beery flavors to really showcase, but allow these vintage flavors. When I say vintage flavors, they're very unique flavors, things that you aren't typically going to find in a beer, sherry or port, molasses, fruitcake, treacle, things like that. Things you're not going to usually take a sip of an IPA or something and use those to describe it.
And you do say that when they age, they become like sherry or port. So you even talk about pairings of vintage beer with different foods, as one might do with wines. Talk about some of those pairings people can do.
Absolutely. I think I love food and beer pairings, but I think that vintage beer pairs even better than your average beer, because there's some very dominant, strong flavors in there, and they can really be complemented or contrasted very well with food. So many people, and if you have a culinary leanings, have probably heard of, if you're drinking port, a good pairing is a sharp blue cheese, a Stilton or the like. And I think that pairs equally well with some of these aged barley wines, because they have so many of those similar flavors that you're going to find in a port, those dried fruits and vanilla and whatnot. So that's probably my favorite pairing with the vintage beers.
And you talk about a goose and sheep's milk cheese.
Right. Yeah, so goose is, I'm very, very impressed with your pronunciation. that's a hard one to get down. So what a goose is it's, if listeners out there have heard of lambic, it's a sour beer that's brewed in Belgium. And when I say sour, I really hate that term, because when you say that, people, they automatically think of like vinegar sourness, which is not very pleasant to drink, obviously. But it's actually not a vinegar sourness. It's actually a lactic acid that's produced. And it comes across more tart, kind of citrusy. Think more like a lemonade or something like that. So this is a light beer. It has about the color and clarity of a champagne, and it has this sort of citrusy tartness. And what goose is in Belgium, they really like how this beer ages. So they'll age it for about 3 years and then blend it with a little bit of younger beer to help freshen it up. and they love drinking it over there. And the traditional pairing, and I love it, is raw sheep's milk. It's just a very creamy white cheese, but it helps sort of contrast that bright acidity of the lambic really well.
Now, it's funny you talk about some of the descriptives, because as I was reading through the book, and I must confess, I'm somebody who is trying to like beer, but I'm having a difficult time. I'm still a wine person. So here was a goes that you had in your book, and you say the taste, as with the aroma, the dominant flavors are funk and lactic sourness. And I thought, wow, how exciting.
Yeah, it is a very interesting experience the first time you ever drink your first lambic. What I like to prep people and say, don't think of this as beer. Forget every preconceived notion you have about beer and just drink it for what it is. Because it is just the descriptors you use when you're trying to describe it are very non-traditionally beer-like. So when I say funk, it's very similar to like kind of a funky cheese, like a blue cheese, which is sort of a love it or hate it kind of flavor. But for anybody out there that likes kind of a funky cheese, I would definitely recommend they check out a lambic, because I think it's a lot of fun when you pair that up with that sort of tartness.
So funk is positive in this description. Funk is good.
It is. It's funny. I mean, if you talk to some of these hardcore beer geeks, you know, the words that they use to describe these beers, you know, they don't sound good. You know, cellar must and barnyard and whatnot. But you know, you probably would say the same thing about a lot of cheeses.
So I'm speaking with Patrick Dawson about vintage beer. He will be speaking this Friday at the Santa Fe Brewing Company, and a keg of vintage beer will be tapped at each event. So on Friday night, what kind of beer will it be? Will there be funk involved, and what can people expect?
There will be no funk in this one. It's actually a beer that a lot of Santa Fe beer drinkers are probably familiar with. It's their barley wine, which they call Kickin' Chicken. But what's special about this one is they've aged it in a whiskey barrel. I think for about a year. And that really allows some of these vintage flavors to develop. And what's great is it also takes on a little bit of those whiskey notes and barrel notes of vanilla, coconut, peach, whatnot. And then on top of that, right before they served it, they're actually going to dry hop it. So it's this kind of best of both worlds. You get this, all these complex vintage flavors, but then a little bit of a hop kick. So I'm really, really excited that they pulled that one out of the cellar for the event. It should be a lot of fun.
And how did you really get into doing this book? I mean, obviously you were a beer lover. Obviously you were inspired by this 3-year-old Belgian beer. But this book is extremely technical. Is this a passion of yours? Is this a work? I mean, obviously it's a passion, but I mean, is this your job, or is this something that just drives you?
It is. A passion is the best way to describe it, because I'm an engineer. That's my day job, and it's nights and weekends that I have this crazy passion for beer. What really inspired me to write the book was undergoing, you know, the first few years with aging beers, I was not aging the right ones. There's very, very little written information, recorded information out there about this. So a lot of people, it's just sort of word of mouth or just going through kind of the school of hard knocks to just figure these things out on your own. And I felt like I'd gotten a really good handle on things, and I saw a lot of friends and people that were just getting into beer that were sort of struggling with the same process I went through, and I just thought one day, you know, someone really needs to collect all this information out there, do the research, and help people that are interested in trying this out not have to go through those painful few years of learning, sort of give them a leg up.
Now, I also wanted to address something. I didn't see it in the book. It seems like you speak about some very simple ingredients. There was a post floating around in the blogosphere titled kind of Beers You Should Stop Drinking Immediately. And when you went into it, though it ended up being debunked, a lot of the concern was surrounding kind of GMO additives, corn and wheat and corn syrup sweeteners. I don't know if you saw that post and a lot of
the discussion
that went on around that. Is there any validity and any concern about this?
Well, I think it's a personal preference thing. Me personally, I'm not a huge fan of the flavor that corn brings in a beer, so I try and avoid it just on that principle. It also doesn't have, if you're talking about vintage beers, the process for extracting the sugars out of the corn, it doesn't create a lot of the building blocks that you need for a beer that's going to age well, so obviously that's not going to. But typically, you're not going to be aging beers with corn anyway. It's usually higher-end beers, whereas corn is sort of a filler, a cheap filler for some of the breweries to help the profit margin more than the flavor profile. So just from a flavor standpoint, a drinking experience standpoint, I always try and avoid the corn. As far as the GMOs and whatnot, I think that's up to everyone's just own take on how they feel about those.
So a lot of this is just really upping the quality, upping the ante of a beer. You even mentioned that a lot of high-end restaurants are beginning to age beer alongside wine. You mentioned a bottle of beer that can retail for $60.
Yeah, it's a really incredibly exciting time in the beer world right now. Again, 3 years ago, you wouldn't be able to say that because this trend was just catching on in America a few years ago, and it's great that restaurants have dived in, and a lot of wine cellars, you're going to see bottles of beer as well. They found that there's a market for it, and people are willing to pay that restaurant premium for bottles that have been aged, and I, as a beer drinker, absolutely love it. It's such a great time to love beer right now.
And historically, it's funny, we think of wine kind of in literature, Ulysses and the Wine Dark Sea, but actually there's a long tradition of beer also, not only in literature and history. As I was looking through there, I was just curious of kind of references that came into it. And there are so many, the best beers where priests go to drink, for a quart of ale is a dish for a king, William Shakespeare, and this tradition has really come across, so it's almost like a reemergence, isn't it?
It really is. Thomas Hardy, the great English writer, he was a big fan, and there's a brewery in England that has created a beer in his honor. He described this, the beer of Dorchester, and it was known for being this very strong sort of roasted barley wine, and he described it in this poem he wrote, The Trumpet Major. And this brewery out there back in the 60s decided to pay homage. Hey, we're going to recreate this beer. We're going to try and create a beer that matches the description as what he described. And it's been fantastically popular beer to age and collect. It's called Thomas Hardy's Ale. So, there's definitely a long literary connection with beer that I guess it's just maybe coming back into fashion now.
Hunter S. Thompson refers to a Celtic saying, good people drink good beer. Just look around you. In any public barroom, you will see bad people drink bad beer. Think about it. So here's a big cheer for good beer, and people can hear all about it this Friday. It begins at 4 p.m. at the Santa Fe Brewing Company. Patrick Dawson will be there to speak about beer and also his newest book, A Taster's Guide to Brews That Improve Over Time, Vintage Beer. This also happens to be the Bike and Brew Festival, a three-day celebration of craft beer and biking. May 16th through 18th, there are activities all weekend long. There is also the 29th annual Santa Fe Century 100-mile bike ride. So, Patrick, you're here at the right time. I am excited to come and taste some of your brew, and thank you so much for speaking with us on the Radio Cafe.
Absolutely. I had a blast. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will hear from Sherry Kessler about her new exhibit on tattoos and talismans.